Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been joining us for the last several weeks, you know that we are in a series that I'm calling He is Our Gift Giver. That's the portrait of God that I see in these multiple passages that we're going through, because He has indeed given us 20 listed spiritual gifts in three categories and three different passages, and it is a marvelous journey to discover what your gifts are and what those around you have as their gifts. And so right now we're in the middle of going through the personal spiritual gifts. Later we'll get into the positional spiritual gifts. And then later on we'll get into the situational spiritual gifts. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to go over to Romans chapter 12. And we'll pick up our study there as we're looking at the seven personal spiritual gifts as they are listed beginning in verse 6 of Romans chapter 12. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website. It's called Helping You Hear God. It's at markpg.org. And on the landing page, you'll see options for articles I've written for a local publication, videos, 3-minute videos on the portraits of God. There's some printed guides and outlines and infographics on all kinds of topics. And then there's a broadcast box. Click on that one. The next page, click on Portraits of God, and then you'll have a list of these archived radio broadcasts. And so, as we get started, as is our custom, and as you're jotting down that markpg.org address to check out a little bit later, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm very grateful for the privilege You give me to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet as I do my best to share the things that You've taught me as I journey through Your love letters to us, Your scriptures, now looking at how You are our gift giver, and You do hardwire us in heart with these personal spiritual gifts and those around us as well. So thank You, Lord, for this journey to see how uniquely You have created each of us. Oh, we're thankful, Lord. And we love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, just by way of brief review to set the table for our continuing journey in this third message out of 8, let me just take you over to Romans chapter 12, if you're already there, I hope. And in verse 6, it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then the list begins. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads or administrates, we see it in different translations rendered differently. He who leads or administrates with all diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And you know that I'm using animal metaphors to describe each, and we've talked about how the gift of prophecy, which is defined as declaring the black and white heart truths of God, these are the born leaders, the visionaries, very decisive individuals, hence the metaphor is an eagle. Looks like they're always scowling, has got that beak, got those talons, a big bird and stuff. So they can unwittingly be very intimidating to people because of their strong, decisive personalities. So that's the gift of prophecy. And we've been saying, too, that we each are kind of given one, maybe two primary ones to begin with. But the more we grow in Christ's likeness, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, the more gifts we take on, because He had all the gifts. So the older we get in Christ, the more difficult It is to tell what the two original primary gifts were when we first started out our journey in the Lord. So, you may know a mom or a dad or a boss or a neighbor with the gift of prophecy, eagle-like, very strong, decisive personality, can be intimidating. Also, intimidating can be those with the gift of teaching. Tiger is the metaphor I use here, explaining the comprehensive biblical insights of God. These are the people who know the ins and outs of the Bible, the depths. They know the comprehensive nature of it, all the balances, the caveats, multiple texts, and that can be intimidating. People that knowledgeable in the scriptures, knowing them, approaching it with multi-layers, lifelong learners, with all their outlines and infographics and stuff, they can intimidate the rest of us that may not be wired that way. So they have to be careful in how they wield that spiritual gift. Then we went to the gift of exhortation. And that's the motivating the body of Christ to apply God's truths. It's one thing to preach and convict people of God's truths, prophecy, eagle. Another thing to explain the comprehensive biblical insights of God, the full counsel of God throughout the scripture, teachers, tigers. But the exhorters, they like to motivate the body of Christ to do God's truths. You know, the old parable of how the wise man who built his house upon the sand and the foolish man who built a house upon, the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The only difference was one did it. The other just talked about it. So we want to do the things of God. And that's planting yourself in the Lord and being like a man who built his house upon the rock. And exhorters have a way of motivating the body of Christ to apply God's truths. They're the life of the party people. Encouragers, dolphin is a great metaphor. These are three extroverts, there, I can get it out. Extroverts, eagles, tigers, dolphins, prophecy, teaching, exhortation. But this third one that we ended with last time are like dolphins, always smiling, splashing around, life of the party. They're the fudge on the hot fudge sundae, make you feel like $1 million. We can do this. Very, very good at motivating the body of Christ to get out there, get after it, do the things of God. But we need those with the gift of administration, which is the fourth one, and that's the ant. Let me take you over to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And listen to this that describes those with the gift of administration, which I define as organizing and mobilizing the body of Christ for ministry. It's one thing to motivate the body of Christ. You can do this. Let's get after it. Okay, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to team up? What are the nuts and bolts? What are the checklists? Oh, well, dolphins are horrible at that. That's why they need ants, administrators around them to organize and mobilize the body of Christ who now is motivated to do the things of God. And listen to this in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard or lazy person. Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision gathers her provision in the harvest. Now I love this. There are people that are hardwired from the get-go, from birth, with this gift of administration and being organized and mobilizing themselves to do what they're supposed to do. I mean, for those of you who have multiple children, sometimes you have a child or two that just, they love to keep their room orderly. They love to do their homework on their own. They love to think ahead. That is how they operate. Very different than those with the gift of exhortation, the dolphin type. They don't have to clean up the room. It's going to get messy anyway, especially the bed. We're going to sleep in it. Why make it up now? And all their parties waiting to happen all the time. And those are dolphins, and those are the gift of exhortation. But the brother or the sister that might share a room, well, they might be administratively gifted or ant-like and very organized. As they grow older, they're the ones who keep their closets very neat and orderly. The clothes are lined up, color-coded. The pantry, very organized. If it's a guy in a garage or a workshop, very organized. Every tool has its place. But not everybody is this way, are they? Oh, my friends, we need those with the gift of administration. And by the way, this is kind of the bridge spiritual gift between the first three, extroverts, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, eagles, tigers, and dolphins, and the next set, 5, 6, and 7, of service, giving, and mercy, and they will be squirrels, honeybees, and doves. The administration gift can be manifested in an extroverted way by some, but an introverted way behind the scenes by others. So that's why they can go either way. But the big point here is that they're the ones who have a mind that thinks ahead, loves to organize, loves to plan, loves to mobilize the body of Christ, arrange them into teams. You know, they're big, great team builders, provide job descriptions and checklists. And by the way, this is the reason why a lot of frustration comes up in local churches or in parachurch ministries. They have the heart to do the will of God and the mission of God, and they may even have the manpower, but if they don't have what the world would call an office administrator, if they don't have somebody who can organize and mobilize all of the people that are on the team in the most effective positions with job descriptions and with some checklists that kind of get them going and some timetables, well, then a lot of the efforts will be very haphazard and scattered and not as fruitful as they could be. That's why the scripture says that we need, we have many members in one body, back in verse 4 of Romans chapter 12, for we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function. And so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And then it describes those differing gifts. And by the way, we have different combinations. We have those two primary ones, but then we have little, you know, splatters of the others. It's kind of like getting paint at Home Depot. You have your base paint, but then you have those little drops of color, depending on what you've selected, that makes it its particular shade of green or blue or orange or red or black. So that's why we're all so different. Really fascinating stuff. And so we need those with the gift of administration. We need those ants, and they are the people who organize and mobilize the body of Christ for ministry. Now that brings us to number 5, the gift of service. And the gift of service, I use the metaphor of the squirrel. Think of a squirrel. Loves to gather up the nuts and do things on its own, but don't try to pet it. It'll run away. Don't try to put it on stage. Don't try to train it. That's not them. You know, it's more they like, well, here's the definition. Doing tasks backstage for others and for God's glory. They do not like the stage. They do not like the spotlight. They do not like the limelight or the microphone. They don't even like talking up in Bible studies. They like to stay in the background, but they love doing things with their hands. They're the ones who love to make meals for those who are sick, or to go and do fix-it jobs for those that need some repair work in their homes, or do some lawn work because they're not able to do it anymore. Somebody is sick or they're getting elderly. They love to do the remodels and stuff. They love to do all the setup and takedown. I was visiting one of our church plants. We have 108 churches and church plants in the network of churches that I oversee, and was visiting one of them that's meeting in a school. It's a year old. It's doing great. About 150 people already. And man, it's a big, big thing to get there early Sunday morning and transform the school cafeteria and stage areas into a worship center and all the other different places in that school for the nursery section and the preschool section and the children's section and the youth section and all that stuff. And I was talking with one of the elders there afterwards and just getting acquainted and hearing his heart. And he says, you know what? I love all of this take up and tear down. I've been doing church plants for 15 years. I just love doing all of the setup and takedowns so that we can have a place where people can come and worship the Lord and get in on the warm fellowship that we have here. Now, that's somebody with a gift of service. They love getting there early and doing all that hard work. So when I was a young pastor, I had a hard time getting this in real life. And so I was in a staff meeting many, many years ago, as I said, as a young pastor. And the topic in staff meeting came up that we needed to restore our Wednesday night supper ministry. You know, we had our Wednesday night activities and stuff, but we had shut down the supper a few years earlier, and we wanted to resurrect it. So the question came about, who's going to lead it? And I'm in my mind thinking this: who in their right mind would want to head up the Wednesday night supper? My goodness gracious, I would not want to do that for $1 million. But lo and behold, the lead pastor said, you know, Pastor Mark, would you take the lead in this and try to find someone to do this? And I kind of cringed inside about that, just dreading how you're going to find somebody who wants to do this. But then he said, well, why don't you try? And he named one of the ladies in our church. Try her, you know, next time you see him on, she and her husband on Sunday, might pitch it and see what happens. Okay. Well, I dreaded that. Well, that Sunday came, and after church, I saw them, you know, mingling in the hallway. So I walked up to them and said, excuse me, hey, Mr. So-and-so, it's good to see you guys. Oh, hi, Pastor Mark, how are you? Well, fine. Listen, I got a question for you. And, you know, don't answer too quickly. I mean, just take a time to pray about it. And listen, let me just tell you right now, inside, I'm so dreading this, and I kind of sheepishly, in my mind, thinking, oh, you wouldn't want to do a Wednesday night supper thing for us, would you? Okay, thank you. That's what I'm feeling. But what came out was, well, we're thinking of restoring Wednesday night supper. Would you pray about the possibility of, you know, organizing and mobilizing people for a Wednesday night supper? I will never forget what happened next. The woman just broke into tears. Oh, my goodness, praise God. And she buries her face in her husband's chest. He's hugging on her. They're rocking back and forth. I'm going, what's happening here? Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. You don't understand. Ever since we moved here to attend seminary from our home church back in another state, she mentioned, you know, I used to lead our Wednesday night suppers there. And I've been yearning for 2 years to lead a Wednesday night supper and organize it here in this church. Ever since we started coming, we love this church and love you and Pastor Brad and all. But, oh, this is an answered prayer. And I am just stunned. And so I said, well, wait a minute. So, well, why in the world didn't you say something to us? Well, the next thing she said surprised me just as much. She said, oh, my goodness, I would never do something like that. Well, why not? Well, because, Pastor, I would never want to come across as trying to tell you and our staff what to do. I was waiting to be asked. Let that sink in for a moment, my friends. I learned a huge lesson that day. That which I was dreading, not even imagining somebody would want to do this, feel thrilled to do it. Finally, it's an answered prayer to do it. That never even crossed my mind. But that's because I lost sight of the reality of the gift of service. There are people, and these are most of the people, who have these kinds of support gifts in the background. In fact, one study showed 84% of your churches, are what they call workers. They love to do the hands-on stuff backstage. 14%, all right, we had 84. Now, 14% are what they labeled managers. They're the ones who oversees and organize, kind of like administrates, like we're talking here. That's just 14% of the people have that. Only 2% are the visionaries. These are the ones that can see a problem. They get the vision of how to approach it and how to promote it and how to cast a vision for it and how to gather people for it. But then it's others in that church or in that church plant or in that organization or in that business startup that the visionary 2%er has to have. Goes with the gift of administration, managers, the 14%, but even more so, they also have to have the 84% workers. That's They are the ones who want to do it. They want to be asked, and they want to be coached, and they want to have some checklists and stuff to make sure they're on task. Is that amazing or what? I love the gift of service, the squirrels among us, but don't ask them to give speeches. Don't ask them to even give their testimonies. Don't ask them to teach or preach. That is not them. They love doing tasks backstage for others for God's glory. These are the women who like to make the suppers, or some men who like to do the barbecuing for others. They love it. They love the hands-on, behind-the-scenes stuff. Get their hands dirty. That's real ministry in their minds. Yeah, those people who can talk on stage, they're important, but man, we love doing the hands-on stuff. And there's an office in the church for that. It's called deacon. Those with the gift of service. It means servant. You know, that's what deacon means. It's a service office, hands-on office and stuff. Marvelous, marvelous. Okay, so let's take an inventory. We've talked about the prophecy gift. Those are the eagles, and the teaching gift. Those are the tigers. The exhortation gift. Those are the dolphins. All the extroverts. And that's going to be maybe 10-15% of the population. That's it. The rest are going to be administration, like ants, service like squirrel, and then next time we'll talk about giving and mercy. But as we're winding down today, I want to just tell you a story. I want to give you a story in real life, how you can apply this to your own church and watch for this in your own church. And I'm going to use the story of Vacation Bible School, VBS. So when I was a young pastor, we were doing a replant, started up, 24 people, no land, no building, and we were going it up. And I was in that church for 24 years, and we saw some amazing things that God did. Well, as we got a little bigger and bigger, and then we got our own place and built, you know, bought property and built, and within 3.5 years, we had our own building up and stuff. Amazing how quickly the Lord chose to work. It was really the hands of God. And more people started coming to the church. One particular couple that came became dear friends to me and to my wife, Lindy. And they just were so, so supportive and gifted. Now, they both happened to have the gift of exhortation, dolphins. They were both high energy, very motivating. Everybody loved them. They just connected with so many. They had additional gifts. She also had teaching. She had that gift of teaching. He had the gift of administrations in addition to teaching. And he had some music gifts that aren't technically spiritual gifts, but other abilities and all. Anyway, this was a dynamic duo, I'm telling you. And they had 4 kids, and we had 3 kids, and we were homeschooling our kids together in those years. But they loved VBS, and they became Mr. and Mrs. VBS. We were a growing church, not big. We would have about 200 kids that would come for our Vacation Bible Schools as the years began to roll on. But here's the thing. They would, in a lot of churches, it's hard to recruit helpers for VBS. Not in our church. Mr. and Mrs. VBS, this couple, they were so dolphin-y, so encouraging, so motivating. We would actually easily recruit 100 adults and teenagers to be our leadership team. And the week before VBS, the entire week, they'd be coming in, and we'd transform the entire church into what a theme it was. It could have been a jungle. It could have been a desert. Could have been an underwater theme. You know the themes of VBS. And I mean, this couple easily recruited all that many. And they had, and I don't know what was more fun for them. The week prior to VBS, where they're doing all of the behind-the-scenes creative set up for the stage and the sanctuary and the entryway and the classrooms and all, and then all the different teachers that were recruited and stuff, and all, and again, teenagers working side by side with adults. That is so important, by the way. That's how you really get the heart of teenagers to stick in the church and with the Lord. Put them on mission. Put them aside adults and treat them as adults, my friend. But that's another series. But we had a ball the week prior to VBS. People would take vacation time for these 2 weeks to invest it into VBS. They had so much fun working together. And then the week of VBS, when all the kids started coming, they are all involved as well, and they had them as, you know, in teams and supporting and escorting the kids and hanging out with them and all, you know the drill. We had like a 1-to-2 ratio of leaders to kids and had an absolute blast. Why? Because this particular couple had several gifts that they used faithfully, and they encouraged others to do likewise and drew out their respective gifts and made it fun, made it exciting, made it a powerful thing that God did. We had kids from churches all over our area coming to ours, and they would take the tour of the VBSs in the summer, as many families do, and I would hands down get these comments: you guys have by far the most exciting VBS that we've ever been to. That's why we keep coming back and inviting our friends. That is a wonderful example, my friends, of how we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We should exercise them accordingly, and we should use them in a way that honors each other's gifts, values each other's gifts, and then administration people harnessing and organizing and mobilizing them to work together well for an incredible time. And that doesn't have to be just for 2 weeks in the summer. It can be all year round in your local church or your ministry organization or even your business. We have gifts that differ. Appreciate them, highlight them, cultivate them in your life and in the lives of others. Well, Lord, this is just so exciting. I love talking about this. And so I just pray, Lord, that this is casting a vision to those who are tuning in, that they too can learn to appreciate the gifts in their families and in their churches and in their businesses to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our gift giver.